Breadbox Media Programming is brought to you by...
I need to lose weight. Diet. Deprivation. Misery. Ugh.
What if you could lose weight without feeling awful? R3 Weight Loss by Susan Torberg is the real food plan you've been dreaming about. No calorie counting or journaling. A doable plan for real life. With R3 Weight Loss, you'll break those sugar and carb cravings but still be able to eat things you love, teaching you discipline and managing your weight for life. Visit r3weightlossplan.com. $39 will change your life.
O Lord, my God, thou searchest me. My heart and mind are known to thee. Nothing is hidden from thy eyes. When I sit down
and
when
I rise. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Thou art blessed the fruit of thy womb, Holy Mary, Mother of God. Now at the hour of our death. Come, Holy Spirit, fill the hearts of your faithful and kindle within us the fire of your divine love. Send forth your Spirit, and they shall be created. Let us pray. O God, who instruct the hearts of your faithful by the light of the Holy Spirit, grant that by the same Spirit may be truly wise and ever joyous in his consolation through the same Christ our Lord.
Amen.
Lady Guadalupe, pray for us. Saint Joseph, pray for us. Saint Ignatius, pray for us. I wonder, do you know what ASAP stands for?
Yeah, immediately.
What?
Immediately, ASAP.
Oh.
As soon as possible.
As soon as possible? What did you say? What's ASAP stand for?
As soon as possible?
No, it's always say a prayer. Okay.
Oh. I like that better. I like that better.
Okay, so remember that, okay? Let's try to convert from paganism to Catholicism, okay? So always say a prayer. That's going to be the topic. The first session is just a little bit long. I ask you just be patient. I'll try to finish as soon as possible. The second lecture, but there's just a lot to cover the first day. Set the groundwork. What I'd like to tell you, though, is at the end of this class, this lecture, here is a pretty good picture of St. Ignatius, who we talked about the first class. The feast day is July 31st, which is usually the end of our eight-day retreat. And I have the privilege of showing you, this is the first class relic of St. Ignatius, okay? At the end, do not covet your neighbor's goods, please, okay? I had to throw that out, okay? I'll give you a blessing at the end of the class, if you like, okay?
Yes,
so this is a part of his bone, okay? Of St. Ignatius, yeah.
From the leg you saw it
off. From what?
From the leg.
I didn't hear what you said.
From the leg you saw it off.
Oh, that's a good one. I never heard that one before. That's a good one. All right. So this lecture, we have to cover two basic points or ideas. Is the exercise program that I wrote is basically compared to a tripod that we have here. A tripod has three legs. And if you kick one of those legs, it's going to collapse. So this program, for it to function, there are three parts to it. The first is the lecture that I'll give, which, as I've already said, we got two lectures today because of material we have to cover. And then the second will be next week, after the class lecture, you're going to be dividing into about four groups of about 10, and you're going to be sharing how God spoke to you in one of your meditations. So you just express in a very candid, simple, humble way how God spoke to you in one of your meditations. And that brings me to the third part of our tripod, and it's the most important, and it's your meditations. So all of you are going to embark on a 10-week program of meditations in which you're going to spend some time every day in union with the Lord Jesus Christ and with His Mother Mary. So that is the very heart and essence of this program, is the time you spend with God every day. Amen?
Amen.
So the time you spend with God every day is the most important part of this program. Okay, the time you spend with God. So I'd like to talk about that. I like to call it the I like to call it the holy hour. Okay. Called the holy hour, as Fulton Sheen would call the hour of power. Okay. The holy hour, the hour of power. So that's the essence of it, the hour of power. Okay, now listen. One of the greatest gifts I received as a child and as a teenager is a unique grace that I haven't heard any child or teenager tell me this in 33 years as a priest, is that as a child and as a teenager, I always liked to pray. Which is a huge grace. You know, your parents, you know, you have to force your children to pray. You know, they don't want to pray. You kind of cajole them into praying their prayers at night. But as a child, as a teenager, when I was a teenager in Jersey, New Jersey, I would walk to school and I'd pray three rosaries on the way to school when I was 14 and 15, which is a huge grace, no? That I consider one of the greatest graces God gave to me, not because of any merit of my own. Maybe my grandmother was praying for me, maybe my mom was praying for me, but I always like to pray. And to this very day, I usually start off my day with praying 3 to 4 hours at the beginning of the day. Okay, and that means in this way, my holy hour, which is about an hour and a half, then the Liturgy of the Hours, then the Mass, then the Rosary, then the Chaplet. So from about 5:40 to 9:15, I have the 8 o'clock Mass. So I'm starting off the day with 3.5-4 hours of prayer. And I often feel it's not enough, which is a good sign. I really feel I want to get up earlier, but I feel that my body's not strong enough to deprive myself of that extra half hour of sleep, no? But if I'd get up earlier so I can give more time in prayer. So I'm saying this not to toot my horn, because I'm a wayfarer, a pilgrim like all of you. But it's this. Before being a priest, I was a professional teacher in Philadelphia. So I can teach you how to pray. I can go on and I'm one of those nonstop speakers. I can go on and on and on. Okay? I'm not lacking in education or knowledge or ability to teach. I can do it, no? So if you throw in any type of prayer, I'll probably be able to give you an off-the-cuff talk for half an hour on Lectio Divina, meditation, contemplation, the Rosary, Teresa of Avila, John of the Cross, Ignatius, biblical prayer. I can go on and on and on. So I can teach you how to pray. But I can't give you the desire to pray. I can't give you that. I can't. You sit down with me, ask me a prayer, I'll go on and on and on. I will. But to give you the desire to pray, I can't give that to you. I can't. You got to beg for that. Okay? I'll pray for you. I was praying for you this morning. Say, thank you, Father.
Okay,
I was. In my Mass, I was praying for you. But you got to open up your heart to God.
Amen.
You got to open up your heart to God. But I can teach you. And I'll give you a few ideas in the relatively short time that we have. I always feel whenever I'm teaching, I never have enough time to say what I want to say. But then you have to open up your heart to God. And if one day after these exercises you have a desire to pray, that's huge. It will be one of the greatest graces in the world. It's huge. And I noticed, last night I was in Santa Ana with, I don't know, maybe a little bit, how many people were there? I think more than, probably 600 to 700 people there, basically leading. I spent three hours, basically 3 hours in prayer with people. Okay? 3 hours. No? I call the shots. Rosary, no, Mass, a Rosary, Eucharistic Adoration, a procession. And then it went by quickly, right, Lupe? It went by quickly? Can't hear me. She can't hear me. Okay. Went by very quick. It was 3 hours, no? Make me think of the story. There was an elderly couple. They were sitting in front of the chimney in a cold winter night. They were both married for 65 years. And the lady was a little bit hard of hearing. Did you hear me? Okay. And the guy started to wax eloquent and romantic. He said to his wife, and they're from the South. Have you ever been to the South? The South, the New Yorkers and the Californians, the Southern people have different idiomatic expressions, different accents, no? You want, I could speak with a New York accent if you really wanted to, no? But he said, Mavel, mm-hmm. You've been tried and true all these years. She said, what? Mavel, you've been tried and true all these years. What? Mavel, you've been tried and true all these years. And she said, I'm tired of you too. So we have to be open to hear the Word of God speaking to us. Amen?
Amen.
Okay, to be open to hear the Word of God speaking to us. So you have to beg the Holy Spirit for the desire to pray. You got to beg for it. We have a New York expression, a New York proverb. This is the New York proverb. You can take the horse to the water, but you can't make the horse drink the water. So I can teach you how to pray, but I can't give you the desire. You got to beg for it. Amen?
Amen.
All right, so this 10 weeks, you got to beg for the grace. You got to beg for the grace. Now, if you persevere 10 weeks, I promise you it will be probably the best 10 weeks of your life. You hear me?
Yes.
If you persevere, I mean, you're going to be tempted this week. No, that priest, he's a fanatic. Isn't she flado? He's kind of crazy, you know? He's going overboard, you know, praying an hour a day. No. It's not for me. That's too much for me, okay? So if you leave, that's up to you. You can jump ship if you want. It's up to you. But if you persevere, I promise you this will probably be the best 10 weeks in your life. And you've chosen a difficult time because it's, so to speak, the holiday season. But I think it's the best time. Because you're in the exercises Christmas Eve, Christmas, New Year's Day, into the New Year's. So what better time to end the old year and to start a new year than by doing the exercises? So I really believe that this is the best time to be doing the exercises. Because you're ending the old year, entering the new year with a deeper prayer life. Okay, so this is what we're going to talk about right now is how can you make your holy hour? So let's talk about the when, the where, and the how, okay? Talk about those, try to respond to those three questions. The when, the where, and the how. Okay. Let's start with the when. Okay, there are 24 hours in the day. Is that right?
Yes. Yes.
24 hours in the day. So if you look at mathematically, 1 hour from 24, what is that? 6% of the day. It's really not that much. Okay. So it's really not that much. So give the Lord, okay, you want to give the Lord an hour. But when? Okay, I would suggest that you pray, you make your holy hour as early as possible. as early as possible. The reason for that is, number one is Mark chapter 1. Do you ever read Mark chapter 1? Come before Mark chapter 2, right? Okay, Mark chapter 1. It's a typical day in the life of Jesus. It says that Jesus got up way before dawn. I repeat, he got up way before dawn. What time would that be?
4 o'clock, 3 o'clock.
Yeah, maybe 3:30. Way before dawn, huh? It says he was absorbed in prayer. Absorbed in prayer, not distracted, no? Absorbed in prayer, and the apostles had to track him down because he was absorbed in prayer until dawn. So maybe it's 3 hours praying. Apostles track him down and say, hey, they're all looking for you, Jesus. So he gets up, okay, this is why I've come to preach the Word of God. Then he gets up and he starts to preach and teach the whole day. So his day, Jesus started his day with deep and prolonged prayer. Any Christians here? No, Father, we're Catholics. Are you Christians?
Yes.
Every Catholic is Christian, but not every Christian is Catholic, right?
Right.
Say that 5 times fast, huh? Okay. So you're a Christian. Imitation of Christ. Amen?
Amen.
We want to imitate Christ, right? Not that we have to get up at 3 o'clock in the morning, but I would say at the crack of dawn, get up. Get to bed earlier. Get to bed earlier. You're, the last hour of your day, you're wasting time anyway. You're frittering away. You're not doing anything, right? You admit it, right? So the last hour of the day, you're probably just wasting it, no? So instead of going to bed at 11, go to bed at 9:50. Then you get up an hour earlier. Got it? Okay? Mission completed. Then we have it, okay? What? Isn't that true?
Yeah.
See, we face it, we waste a lot of time. Maybe it's not sinful, but in superficial, inconsequential activities that really are not that important. You give God an hour, that's the most important hour of the day. Give God that hour. And it'll be the most important hour of the day. Yes?
Can we split it in half?
No. Okay, I mean, you can. It's up to you. But, you know, it's not the best situation because often it takes a half hour to warm up. Right, Nada? Not true? And at least for me, it takes time to warm up. You ever been in New York or New Jersey in the middle of winter? How long does it take your car to warm up? Huh? 20 minutes, huh? So we're kind of like a cold car underneath the snow in New York City. To warm up to God, for example, you know a little bit about baseball. Are the Dodgers going to be, they throw themselves on the playing field and they start to play without any warm-up? No way. Pull a hamstring, right? No, professional athletes, I played baseball at Villanova the first year, you got to warm up. You got to warm up. You know, throw yourself in the player's field. You're gonna pull a hamstring, and you're out for 2 months, huh? So spiritual exercising, you have to warm up to God. So from change gears, from the active life to the contemplative life, takes time. You can try to do it that way, but I would dissuade you because it takes a while to warm up. And a lot of you are newcomers. Okay, a lot of you are newcomers. It's going to take a while. So it takes a couple of days, a couple of weeks to get into the flow of things. And people come back for the second time and they notice there's a big difference. No? Hey, remember when I ran cross country? The first day I ran, I could barely get out of bed. I mean, I was aching. Right? I was aching, no? I go out there in the field about every 3 or 4 months with my men's group. I get the bat, and I'm hitting some balls. I get blisters. Forehead, these huge calluses on my hands, right? And I get up the following. Why am I so aching? Well, I'm in my mid-60s. That's the reason why. You haven't hit the ball in such a long time. You've got aches and pains, huh? So spiritual exercises are kind of like physical exercises, like baseball or running, or whatever it might be. So it takes a while. These are exercises. A lot of people, they just got a spiritually flabby belly, you know? And it takes a while to get the muscle tone. And hopefully you'll arrive at a point where you really have the desire to give an hour even more. So you have to beg for the grace. That you really want to spend that time with the Lord. Okay. Do you ever spend the time with a good friend where you're shooting the breeze, you're talking an hour, maybe 2 hours? No? I have. Go home with my mom or maybe one of my brothers, and we have these long conversations. Before I know it, it's already 2 hours. Before my dad and mom, my dad passed away, I could spend 2 or 3 hours having a cup of wine and just talking with mom and dad and talking about politics and religion and talking about all these different topics, telling stories and jokes. My dad, the war stories that he, man, before you know it, it's 2 hours. So if we can spend an hour shooting the breeze with a good friend, can't we spend the hour with Jesus Christ? Yes. Amen?
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 Amen.
So I'll try to give you all the different analogies I can. And Jesus is your best friend. Well, he should be. Do you want him to be your best friend?
Amen.
Kind of? Not that much. But then, at the end of these exercises, all of you, if you're doing them well, Jesus, he's going to be your best friend. As they say in Spanish, el amigo que nunca falla. ¿Habla español? El amigo que nunca falla. ¿No es cierto? El amigo que nunca falla. He's a friend that will never fail us.
Amen.
So I said, I can teach you how to pray, but I can't give you the desire. You've got to beg for it on your knees. Maybe a little bit of bread and water, prayer and fasting, that God will give you the real desire to pray. Amen?
Amen.
Okay, so another reason why St. Faustina Kowalska in the diary said this. When she put off the prayer, either she didn't do it or did it poorly. What? Is that true? Either she didn't do it or she did it poorly. So, remember Cain and Abel? Who gave God the best first fruits, Cain or Abel?
Abel.
Who are you, Cain or Abel? I know your name. Your name was Canable, right? Is that your middle name, Canable? Knock off the Cain and just be an Abel. Okay? I will enable you to be an Abel. Okay? There you go. Okay? And then another reason why is this. I notice as I'm heading toward the twilight of my existence, as we say in poetic English, no? That life is a battle. Or is it easy street for you? Maybe you're young, everything is easy street. You're going to see, life is not always as easy as you like it to be, huh? Life is a battle. I see my prayer, my holy hour, preparing me for the battle during the day. Right? You have any battles? And as you get closer to God, the battle become more intense. How are you going to win the battles if you don't have God working with you? So as soldiers of Christ, your holy hour prepares you to fight the good fight, to run the good race, and win the crown that's awaiting for you on the day of your judgment. Amen?
Amen.
So if we run to fight the good fight and run the good race and win the battle, win the crown, we got to pray. You got to pray. St. Augustine says, he who prays well, lives well. He who lives well, dies well. He who dies well, all is well. Amen?
Amen.
St. Augustine. Saint in Latin. Imagine saying that in Latin, Dan. Really beautiful, huh? English is pretty good. Italian a little bit better, but the Latin, the original Latin would be really beautiful, huh? Okay, so I can't force you. I mean, I can't, you know, call you up at 5 o'clock. Have you gotten up yet? I mean, I can't do that, no? But I can only encourage you and exhort you, okay? I can exhort you, okay? So warmly encourage you to make that sacrifice. Amen?
Amen.
You know, you're going to, and once you start to do it, maybe the first couple of days is kind of a little bit groggy and struggling, but once you get in the habit, you'll hopefully will enjoy getting up and giving the Lord your first fruit. Our friend Fulton Sheen says, never start your holy hour without having your first cup of coffee, okay? You agree with that? I thought you would, okay? So you don't want to be, otherwise you're agreeing with you're agreeing with everything you're eating, right? It's called the yo-yo approach, right? So have your cup of coffee. And then when you're praying, you have to have, there's your when. How about your where? Where are you going to pray? Okay, the ideal place for prayer is, okay, in front of the Blessed Sacrament. That's the ideal. In front of the Blessed Sacrament, because you got the Christ, you got Christ present there. I got an idea. I think you're going to love this idea. I've got a great idea. This church, we open up this church at 4:30 every morning. See you tomorrow? Amen or oh me? Oh me! I thought you liked that idea. 4:30, no? And then we got a mass at 6. Oh, how about that? The Beatles used to sing, "It's getting better all the time." Wow. Yes. No. Oh well, we have to change that. It's
4:45.
Okay. Thank you, Mary. Okay. So it's open up at 4:45. So there, that the voicemail has to change on the.
A person.
Well, that.
4:45.
Yeah. Because you arrive at 4:45, or Indi, or someone arrived at 4:45. So,
Father,
yes.
Is the Blessed Sacrament exposed in the morning?
Okay, 4:45 is not exposed, but you have it in the tabernacle.
When is that position begin?
It's right after the 6 o'clock Mass. So you make your holy hour up until the 6 o'clock Mass. Then after the 6 o'clock Mass, by 6:30, you've done your holy hour. You're going to Mass and receive Holy Communion. You're ready to start the day, huh? So see you tomorrow at 4:30, 4:45. Okay. Hello? Okay. Okay, now if you can't do that because it is too early, and like last session we had people traveling from San Diego. Okay. Are you from San Diego? Okay. Okay, you're from Tijuana, right? Okay. Okay, so if you can't make it, then some quiet place. Hopefully in your home, some quiet place. Place where there's silence. And utilize the images that you have here. Do you have an altar? Have an image of the Sacred Heart of Jesus? Have an image of the Immaculate Heart of Mary. Have an image of Divine Mercy. Maybe have a statue of Saint Joseph, my favorite saint, huh? Maybe have an image of Saint Ignatius. No, if he sees you sloughing off, he'll gently rebuke you with his presence. Okay? Get out of bed! Come on! Come on! He's gonna send a cannonball at you, huh? A cannonball, right? Okay. Okay, then you can light a couple of candles. Yeah. Burn some incense, but not marijuana. Okay, burn some incense, okay? They set the aroma, the milieu, the spiritual milieu of this place, huh? So all this is we're setting the stage. Okay? We're setting the stage. And then all of you are going to be given every session handouts. So you got your binders now. You're going to get handouts. So you're not going to be just saying your rosary or the Chaplet of Divine Mercy or Novena of St. Fulgentius of Rust Bay, whoever it might be. You're going to be doing exactly what we tell you to do. So you're going to be having a biblical passage as well as a long commentary on that passage every day these next 10 weeks. So we've laid it out for you. We're going to be giving you the first page. We'll give you a method on how to pray, which I'm explaining now, then the biblical passage, and then the commentary you have, so that you can enter into communion with God. Amen?
Amen.
The purpose is union with God. That's the purpose. Entering into union with God. Okay, now there you are. You've had your cup of coffee. You're ready to go for it. You make the sign of the cross. Nasa says, place yourself in the presence of God. Okay? Place yourself in the presence of God. Then Inesha says, imagina la mirada del Señor. Okay? Imagina la mirada del Señor, which is, imagine the Lord is looking at you with great love. The Blessed Mother is there also. Then say the Hail Mary. Start the exercise with the Blessed Mother. And then after you pray the Hail Mary, then you invoke the spiritual teacher of these exercises. Is that you, Father Broome? No. It's the Holy Spirit. Pray to the Holy Spirit. Romans chapter 8. You know, remember that verse, Romans chapter 8? We don't know how to pray as we ought, but the Holy Spirit intercedes with ineffable groans so we can say, Abba, Father. Ask the Holy Spirit. And then you start to read the text. You read the text. Read the text. But read the text because God is speaking to you. Here is a method that you can use that I've been teaching over the past couple of years, taken from Pope Benedict XVI in his document, Verbum Domine. And it is called Lectio Divina. Lectio Divina. And that is, these are the steps. Lectio. Meditatio. Contemplatio. Oratio. Actio. There you have it. Got it? That's a classical method of prayer. Lectio Divina. Lectio. Meditatio. Contemplatio. Oratio. Actio. And I would add the last. Transformatio.
Amen.
Lectio means you got to read. Speak, O Lord, for this your servant is listening. Meditatio, what does that mean?
Meditation.
You got to think. You know, put on your spiritual thinking cap. Think about it. What is God saying to you? God is speaking to you. Speak, O Lord, for your servant is listening. Then contemplatio, what is that? Imagine, use your imagination that you're present with God. You have an imagination, use it well. Either way, you use your imagination for good or for evil. Use your imagination, imagine that Jesus is looking at you with love. And Mary is too. Then you have oratio, which is? Pray. Talk to God. Talk to Him in your own words. Have a conversation with the Lord. It's interesting when you're talking with people. You ever talk with someone and the person looking at his watch and kind of scratching his head, yawning? The way people are, huh? God never gets bored of us. Whenever we talk, you can be talking for 3 hours and God is saying, you want to talk another 3 hours? I'm available. But yes. Not the way people are, huh? After 19 minutes, come on, say it, move on. I have an appointment. God is never too busy to listen to us. How humble God is, right? How humble God is. God is never too busy to listen to us. But we're too busy for God at times, aren't we? Yeah. Because we're really important, right? We have our engagements, our important appointments. We have our activities that we have to respond to. But God is never too busy for us. He's always available. And God can be listening to 7.2 billion people at the same time as if there was just one person in the world. That's true. He can be listening to all the billions of people in the world as if there's only one person talking to him. And not only does he read our words, but he reads our mind. He reads the most secret intentions of our heart. That's the way God is. The most secret, intimate movements of our heart, God reads it as if it's the sun at midday. Think about that. You start to talk to God, God is very happy with that. But God respects your freedom. You're too busy, okay? You're too busy, whenever you want, I'm available. How great our God is. Personal, loving God that loves us so much that he sent his son into the world to die on the cross because he loves us so much. How great God is. That's oracio. Talk to God. Then you have axio, is try to put into practice what God is teaching you. He's our friend, but also he's our teacher. And before finishing your prayer period, open up your notebook and you want to be writing down, what did God say to you? That's called the revision. What did God say to you? What was the message he said to you? So every time you have this experience, God is speaking to you. He's leaving you a very important message. Amen?
Amen.
It's a love letter from God, so to speak. It is. Love letter from God. You want to write down in your notebook for about 3 to 5 minutes how God spoke to you, and when you meet next week, you're going to be sharing one of those meditations with your group. And you're going to be enriching your group, and your group is going to enrich you too. That's the whole dynamic behind it. And then I said transformatio, because if it's done well, you'll be able to live out, God willing, what St. Paul says, no longer I who live, but it's Christ who lives in me. Amen?
Amen.
Transformation in Christ. There we have it. Amen? So that's what you're going to be doing starting tomorrow, hopefully as early as possible. You're going to be doing that every day for the next 10 weeks. If it is a struggle, offer it up. Show that you really love God by making the sacrifice, no? Love is measured by the willingness to suffer for the loved one. Amen?
Amen.
Love is measured by the willingness to suffer for the loved one. That's the words of St. Faustina, okay? In the diary. We love, or we're willing to sacrifice, to suffer for the one we love. Amen?
Amen.
Yeah, true. Okay, and finally, the first week of the exercises is dedicated to, put the letters, principle and foundation. Principle and foundation is the foundation of all the exercises. And this, okay, these, the principle and foundation teaches us the purpose of our existence on earth, why we're here. And it's this. We are created to praise God, to reverence God, to serve God. And by means of that, to save our soul. I repeat, we are here in this world to praise God, to reverence God, to serve God, and by means of that, to save our soul. Got that memorized?
Yes.
Here to praise God, reverence God, serve God, and by means of that, to save your soul. So you're going to be meditating upon that this whole week. And the rest of these exercises, that's going to be in the background of the rest of these meditations, as well as the rest of your life. You're here in this world a short time. Praise God, reverence God, serve God, by means of that, to save your soul. And that's going to be motivating all of your actions the rest of your life. For example, you send your daughter to a college. It's going to happen. She'll be come back in 2 or 3 years, no longer believing in God. That's what happens usually. Okay? Right? All of you have the experience either personally or nephew or niece or something. Okay, instead of sending her to Harvard or Cornell or Brown or UPenn, go to Cerritos Community College. She's not going to have a double doctorate from the Ivy League on the East Coast. She'll have a simple degree here, but going to get to heaven. Parents who have done the exercises make that decision, okay, my child is gifted intellectually, but she's very proud. If she goes there, she's probably going to lose her faith, okay? Stay locally. Don't live on campus. Live at home. As we used to say at Villanova, be a day hop, drive there, okay? Hop over there in the morning and then come back at night. You're not going to be living on campus, huh? You're going to get married. Who are you going to marry, huh? Most attractive guy that has the most money, huh? A lot of people think about that, right? Shouldn't you marry someone that's going to help you to get to heaven and your children to get to heaven?
Yes.
Amen? This is principle and foundation. This is principle and foundation. You want to make that decision. Is this going to help my children get to heaven? Do all you possibly can. Is this going to help me to get to heaven? Do all you possibly can. This is principle and foundation. So it's changing your philosophy of life. For that reason, Ignatius said to Francis Xavier, what would it profit a man if he gained the whole world and lose his soul? Say, for example, you gained the whole world, you had everything in the world, and you die in the state of mortal sin. Where does it all go? To the government? It goes to Trump, the Republican Party, the Democratic Party. It goes to everyone, and you lose your soul for all eternity. Is it really worth it? It's not worth it. So you're motivated by how you can praise God and save souls. I haven't met too many parents that are motivated by principle and foundation. Very few, but you should be if you do these exercises. What can I do to get those kids into heaven? Do all I possibly can to get those little kids to heaven. Their soul is worth more than the whole universe. Because they're redeemed by the blood of Jesus Christ. This is the reason why Ignatius said to Francis Xavier, go set all on fire. What was the motivational, what was the motto of John Bosco and Francis Xavier? You know what it was? Save souls. Both of them, they had the same motto. John Bosco. In my confession, I have a portrait of John Bosco. Below it says, give me souls, take all the rest away. John Bosco. The same motto, Francis Xavier. It's the same motto, really, of Maximilian Kolbe. Save souls. So that's your meditation. You're going to have biblical passages. But we're setting the foundation, and the gospel today are the two foundations. The foundation is Jesus Christ. We're here to get to heaven. You're here to get to heaven. Then Ignatius says, we should not, he says, the use of creation. He says we're called to use things of creation, not to abuse them. So everything that God created is good. Either we use it or we abuse it. All that God created is good. Either we use it or we abuse it. Everything can be abused. But we should be using it as a ladder by which we ascend to heaven. As a bridge by which we arrive at the other side. Then the third part of Principle and Foundation is called holy indifference. Holy indifference does not mean apathy. Or the younger generation, whatever. It's not that. Can't be important, no? Rather, holy indifference is we don't want to prefer anything except God's will. We don't want to prefer a long life over a short life. We don't want to prefer health over sickness. We don't want to prefer, buckle up, huh? Riches over poverty. Remember St. Francis? Yeah. Not to prefer riches over poverty. Not to prefer honors over humiliations. But we choose what is most conducive for the end for which we were created. The honor and glory of God and the salvation of souls. That's principle and foundation. It's a philosophy of life. You know, we all have a philosophy of life. We all have a philosophy of life. You know, people don't. This is my philosophy. No one says it instead, unless you study a little bit of philosophy and theology. But we all have a philosophy of life. Many have what is called materialism. Some have what is called consumerism. Others have what is called hedonism. Others have what is called agnosticism. Others have what is called syncretism. Others have what is called atheism, practical or dogmatic. Most Catholics have embraced what is called the dictatorship of moral relativism. Do my own thing, whatever feels good to me, I like to do it. The philosophy. University students have what is called rationalism. Okay? These are all philosophies. I've expressed to you about 10 different false philosophies with which most Americans embrace, if not one, some of them. This is basically Americanism. Okay? Materialism leads to consumerism. Consumerism leads to hedonism. Hedonism to agnosticism. Agnosticism to atheism. Atheism means the denial of God because money becomes your God. Hello? Anyone home? That's our society. And it's a false philosophy. Why are we here? We are here to praise God, to reverence God, to serve God. By means of that, to save our soul. So we're trying to absorb through prayer and meditation the purpose, the raison d'être, as they say in French, you know, the reason for our existence, praising God, saving our souls, and bringing as many souls to God as possible. You know, I say Mass every day, and because there's a shortage of priests, I say two or sometimes three Masses a day because there's a shortage of priests. This is principle and foundation for a priest. When I celebrate Mass, I'll often beg the Lord, I pray that through this Mass, a million souls will be saved. Am I asking for too much?
No, it's God.
Hello? You know what I hear the Lord say? Why are you asking for so little?
I thought that. Yep. I
did. I thought trillions, but. Why not? Why not? Why are you asking for so little? Sorry, Lord, I'll ask for more. This is the principle and foundation lived by a priest. Why limit God? God is God.
Amen.
Right? Why limit God? Why limit God? So you people are called to save many, many souls, and it depends on this. Generosity, trust, and love. And that's the Blessed Virgin Mary, right? Mary was very generous. Mary trusted God, and Mary loved God with her whole heart, right? So I'm going to pray for you that this is going to be the best 10 weeks in your life. Do you believe it?
Yes.
It's going to be the best 10 weeks of your life. And I'm going to end by giving you a blessing of the relic of St. Ignatius. The Lord be with you.
Amen.
May Almighty God bless you, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
God bless you, and have a great journey toward heaven.
Thank you,
Amen. Okay.
Thank you, Father.
You're welcome.
Thou art before me and behind, and thou hast probed my heart and mind. Upon me thou hast laid thy hand. O Lord, how could I understand?
Breadbox Media Programming is brought to you by
It's So Much More than just a profile picture. At Catholic Singles, our platform offers you many opportunities to get to know the person behind the picture. Sign up today at CatholicSingles.com.
Jack Kane Ford. Find your next Ford Tough vehicle at KaneFord.com.